Hello and welcome to the program. We continue in our series today on what in the world is going on. In 2 Peter 1:19, we read about the sure word of prophecy whereunto ye do well to take heed. It's all in here in the Word of God. The Bible tells us what's coming. You do well to take heed. Two-thirds of the Word of God are prophetic, some very direct statements and others are symbolic. There are three types of prophecy today. That is past tense, those that have been already filled, present tense, those that are being fulfilled today, and it's there where we're focusing on what in the world is happening, and future prophecy, and that's what we're going to look at today. The next thing on God's program is what is referred to as the rapture of the Christian. That is the very thing on God's program that will happen next. We're going to look at what the Bible says about that subject. Before we do, listen to this message and song as the world continues to spin out of control. We read in the Psalms, "Fret not thyself because of evil workers." Let's just keep trusting the Lord.
I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Just keep trusting your Lord as you walk along. Just keep on trusting your Lord and He'll give a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, keep right on trusting your Lord. He will faithful friend, such a faithful friend. You can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, just keep on trusting your Lord. He will never.
I trusted Jesus as my Savior when I was only 12 years old, and they told me at that time you should read the book of John 5 times before you read anything else. I did that, and I'm glad I did. As a result, I really enjoy the book of John even to today. If I could only have one book in the Bible, I would want that one. However, I very soon in my Christian life got enamored with the subject of the second coming. Saw that in the scriptures, said, boy, what's that all about? I started studying that when I was 12 years old, and I'm still studying it today. And I have to be careful when I get on this subject because I love it so much. It might be the only thing I ever talk about. However, the next thing on God's program is what we call the rapture. Now, the word rapture does not occur in the Bible. It refers to the catching away of church-age saints at the end of the local church age. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, it says here, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, what that means is we shall not all be dead in the Lord. That's what it's referring to. In a moment, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's referring to those here that he's called sleep. And we shall be changed. And so I looked at that as a young lad, and I thought, who is he talking about? Who are the we? Now, 1 Corinthians 1:2 tells us who this book was written to, and it says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord." And so we need to understand that the subject of the rapture is very selective. That is for Christians only. What is a Christian? Psalm 85:6 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee." A Christian is one who humbles himself or herself, realizing that we are sinners and we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, asking for forgiveness of our sins. Now, I want to make this very plain. It's not some kind of a mental decision because we hear something about going to heaven or going to hell and we kind of vote for Jesus. What it is the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that God is talking to us and that we need to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And then our spirit will speak to our mind, our will, and our emotions as to whether or not we are going to do what God is telling us to do. If we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we are amongst those here that it says to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, I want to read Psalm 85:6, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." And so we need to not take this word Christian so general as the word the world takes it today. To be a Christian is to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, "Then after that, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then come sudden destruction upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Now notice once again, he says, "Brethren, ye, I write unto you." But then in verse number 3, he says, they shall not escape. There's two groups here, those that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and those that have not. Verse 4, he continues, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." Therefore, when you see the word therefore, you ask yourself what it's there for. Because of those verses that we just read, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. There's a tremendous verse here. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we sleep, we should live together with him. Now I want to look at that verse once again, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. I thought we were already saved. I thought he was talking to the brethren. I thought he was talking to people who were already saved. He is. However, we've said many times before, when you look at the word saved in the Bible, don't assume it's talking about going to heaven every time you read that. It talks about being saved from our enemies and saved from ourselves and saved from apostasy. A lot of things it's talking about being saved from. And if you understand the scriptures correctly, we will be saved if we are genuine born-again Christians. We will be saved from the wrath to come, which we'll be looking at when we get a little further into the book of Revelation. And then in verse number 11, he said, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Well, what happens after the rapture? Now we go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Now we have the trumpet. We have going up hither, it says here. This is what it's talking about when we talk about the rapture. So in the book of Revelation, as we've said before, John was told in Revelation 1:19 to write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And so chapter 1, he's talking about the things that he had seen. In chapter 2 and 3, he's talking about the local church age, which covers a period of 2,000 years. And when we're going to get to the end of that 2,000 years, then we're going to have the things that shall be hereafter. And now we start in chapter 4 and verse number 1, talking about the things that will happen after the rapture of the Christian. The book of Revelation is a book of symbols that needs to be compared with Old Testament prophecies to be properly understood. As one travels through the book of Revelation, the picture changes from earth to heaven, back and forth. You'll notice that as you read through the book of Revelation. One minute you're in heaven, the next minute you're back on the earth. Chapter 4 and 5 take place in heaven. And for the purpose of our study, we're going to focus mainly on what is happening on earth. Revelation chapter 6 focuses on the activities taking place on the earth after the rapture of the Christian. Now for a foundation, let's just read these verses. Chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. John said, "I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the field. Listen to that verse again. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with the hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. A lot of people are going to die right there. So we're going to look in our next program, beginning with the four horsemen. We have these four horses, a white horse, a horse that was red, a black horse, and a pale horse. We'll try and figure out what all that means. In the meantime, listen to this message and song. If you are a born again, genuinely born again Christian child of God, you have nothing to worry about. God will take care of you.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. What may be the test, God will take care of you.